everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Before we get started with our fantastic guest today, I want to tell you about a series of breakfasts that I'm planning. That's right, the Indie Business Breakfasts are finally coming to fruition after several months of planning. We're going to be gathering in Atlanta in July, in Portland, Oregon in August, and I think our first one is going to be in June in Washington, D.C. So check it out. I want you guys to make sure that you know when we're going to be coming to your area. Several Indie Beauty Network members are also going to be hosting them where they are. So chances are really good that we may be able to host an Indie Business Breakfast in your area. We always have a great speaker, and we're going to be talking about one of them. She's a guest on our radio show today. We always have a great speaker with wonderful information, fantastic open networking for you, and I'm looking forward to meeting you at the Indie Business Breakfast. To find out more information about where we will be and when, just visit indiebeauty.com and click on the events calendar. It's that easy. All the information and all the links to register are there. These locations have maximum spaces, so I want to encourage you to log on and find out where we'll be and get your tickets soon, because when we run out, we run out, and we won't be having any more until we reschedule again in that area. So again, indiebeauty.com, click on the events calendar, and there you'll have it. Well, women in business are all the rage today, and it's lucky for me since I am a woman, but it's also lucky for me because this radio show has just continued to put me in touch with so many fantastic people, and one of them is Monique Hayward. She is the guest on our show today, and she's the author of Divas Doing Business, What the Guidebooks Don't Tell You About Being a Woman Entrepreneur. And I got to tell you, she delivers in here. She is the president and CEO of Nouveau Connoisseurs Corporation, which she founded in April 2004, and she owns and operates the Desert Noir Cafe and Bar in Beaverton, Oregon. That's right outside Portland, and that's going to be where we're going to have Indie Business Breakfast, Portland, in August. Monique joins us today from her offices in Beaverton to share some of her tips and inspiration about being a woman in business. Welcome to the show, Monique.
Thank you very much, Don Maria. It's fantastic to be here.
Be sure that you guys, if you're logged into the chat room, start chatting, ask your questions. Of course, we'll be chatting with you as well. We want to hear what your questions and concerns are about being a business owner today. So, Monique, you know, there are lots of women business books on the market today. Tell us what makes this one different.
Well, there are a lot of business books that are targeted toward women entrepreneurs and women in corporate America and how to succeed, how to scale that ladder and become successful. My book is kind of the real deal. I think that there are a lot of books out there about success stories and kind of the step-by-step of what it takes to get your business started and make sure that you're on the path to the road to riches, so to speak. And I try to provide a sense of what it's like, you know, the real deal of starting a business, what are the things that you're really going to encounter along the way, and give women who are reading this book an opportunity to be inspired by other women who have had similar experiences that they're going to experience as they continue to build and manage their businesses.
And Monique, you have an interesting celebrity connection where this book is concerned. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, Morgan Freeman, the Oscar-winning actor that we all know and love, is a business mentor and contact for me, and he contributed the foreword to the book. And in addition to him contributing the foreword, I am going to be donating a portion of the proceeds from sales of the book to his charity called Planet Now, and that is an organization that assists people who are victims of coastal storms, hurricanes, and other natural disasters. And one of the things that I thought about in, you know, trying to give back in terms of my involvement with Morgan and with writing this book is that in this particular environment, right, where we have a recession, you know, people are struggling just to kind of keep their businesses open. God help them if they actually are victims of hurricanes or coastal storms in the coming months as we move into hurricane season. And so I felt like that was a really good way for me to give back to help his organization with helping those people who suffer from those kinds of tragedies.
That's great. It's always wonderful to have a connection like that. And Morgan Freeman is one of my favorite actors. That's really
That is fantastic.
Well, tell me, Monique, in doing your research for this book, I know I want to share with everyone how you contacted me initially. You heard about the blog and the radio show, and you shared that you had this fantastic book and you were having some trouble getting agents and publishers to pick it up. What was going through your mind when you actually made the decision to say, you know what, I don't have time for all that, I'm going to do this myself? Tell us about that process.
Sure. Well, I took about 2 years to put this book together, from the first word that I put down on a page to the actual printing and distribution of the book. And I have an agent, and she was very enthusiastic about my concept, thought that it was, you know, the right message for women who are starting their businesses, or people who are already in business and, you know, needed to kind of get that extra lift that I was describing a little bit earlier. And but unfortunately, with the way that the economy went in late 2007, early 2008, the publishing companies essentially shut the door on first-time authors. So basically, if you weren't Condoleezza Rice and they didn't come after your memoirs or your Laura Bush, or you're somebody like Stephen King or Danielle Steele and you've proven that you can sell millions, you really just weren't getting a book deal. In fact, my sister-in-law is a literary agent, and she was just telling us that, you know, some of her clients are experiencing some of the same issues that I experienced, mm-hmm. and that when she talks to publishers on the other side of the fence, companies who were taking 50 or 60 books a year are now taking something like 5. So this is really a huge problem if you're trying to, you know, reach a market that, you know, is going to be available to you through the publishing channel. So I decided that I would just take matters into my own hands, because at the end of the day, the publishing industry and publishers in general are just printers and distributors. It's incumbent upon the author to still get out there and market the book and push it and, you know, get out there and spread the word. And so I felt like I'm a marketing expert. That's my area of fame, if you will, that I know how to do this stuff pretty well. And I just decided that I would just publish it myself.
And Monique, you've done a fantastic job, and I wanted to start off with that, because what an inspiration it is, as a woman-owned business, just, you know, going past all the obstacles, and your book talks a lot about that. Monique, you not only have written this book and are doing a lot of promotional appearances like this one for it, but you also own a restaurant and you have a full-time job.
Yeah. Can I just take a breath for a second, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, a lot of our listeners are in the same boat,
right.
Or maybe trying to transition out of a full-time job, but we as women know what that's like.
Yes.
And it's really wonderful to have your encouragement. What are two or three of your top tips, Monique, for juggling all that and successfully integrating those things together? I know you must sleep, but I'm just wondering if it's very much.
I actually do try to get somewhere between 6 and 8 hours of sleep. There are times when I'm up and I do some of my best work late in the evening, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, because I just have a lot of stuff that I do during the day in order to manage all of the things that we were just talking about with my day job as well as running the restaurant business. But the tips that I would communicate and pass down to women who are in this situation are a couple different things. One, I think that you have to do a clear assessment of your priorities. And in the book, I talk about the quote-unquote M factors. So the things that you identify as your top priorities, so that you're really clear with yourself, with your loved ones, with your friends, your family, about being in business and what's important to you. And those are your money, your marriage and or motherhood, your mortgage, your motor vehicle, and your peace of mind. And that was just a clever construct that I came up with to make the more serious point of knowing exactly what's important to you, what your priorities are, and what is non-negotiable. Because when you are in business, as you know, there are things that are going to press on those priorities, and you have to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to continue down a path that's going to stretch you in that direction, or you're going to have to pull back because you don't want to compromise. So that's the first thing that I would say, is that if you're thinking about being in business or you're already in business and need to have kind of that reassessment of where you are and what your priorities are, sit down and do that exercise.
Excellent point. Very good point. So in your research, Monique, what did you discover? What is the landscape looking like for women entrepreneurs today? Is it good, bad, and different? Has the economy changed things?
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of different things that are happening. One, with the particular recession that we're in right now, there are two things that are happening. One, industries that are traditionally male are hit pretty hard, right? So you're looking at the construction industry, manufacturing, et cetera, and women are increasingly finding themselves in kind of that breadwinner position, that they are the ones who are kind of, you know, taking on more and more responsibility for the household income and making sure that they pull things together. The other thing that's happening, I think, in corporate America in particular, is that even though we are becoming a bigger percentage of the workforce, we become more exposed to layoffs and corporate cutbacks just like everybody else. And I think that becomes an inflection point that women take the time and look at the landscape and go, well, I've got skills, I've got resources, I've got experience, why shouldn't I just try to do this myself? And I think that that's given people an opportunity to say, okay, you know what, corporate America is not safe, right, and I can create my own wealth, and I can create my own destiny, and I can give back to my community in a way that's more flexible, and that's a way that gives me more control over my own destiny.
Those are such good points. And, you know, are you seeing these kinds of things in your personal employment situation? Not asking where you work or anything, but...
Sure. yes, absolutely. I'm seeing this a lot.
Other women that you connect with discovering this new path that they can take?
Yes, absolutely. And when I'm out talking to women in corporate America as well as women entrepreneurs, and we get together at networking events and, you know, just different activities around town and around the country, I'm hearing more and more from people who just email me outright, too, who are just having, you know, that epiphany, if you will, with their careers. And then also just feeling like, you know, it's that time. I think that you start to sense kind of a movement, if you will, out there among women. Also, I think women have a tendency to be on the lookout more for each other. And I think that we feel, you know, kind of strength in numbers, and we go and seek out each other. And when there is opportunity, we kind of position things more from abundance, if you will, versus scarcity. And mm-hmm. I think that we are, you know, just basically looking out more for each other than you know, maybe other folks out there are.
And Monique, where does the diva fit in here? What exactly is a diva doing business? I hear about divas when it comes to, you know, these opera stars and stuff. What do you mean when you say that in your book?
Right. I think that divas doing business are a force of nature, and they are the people who are out there creating the wind. Right? And we are the ones who are the leaders in, again, creating our own path and our own destiny. And we are also, passionate and compassionate enough to be able to have the perspective that our communities are important to us, our family's important to us, and that it's not just about making money. Making money certainly is, you know, a top priority. You know, you really can't be in business that long if you don't, you know, eventually become profitable at some point. But it really is more about, you know, the ecosystem and the environment that you create for yourself around your business that I think gives us a differentiator, you know, when it comes to comparing what men do in terms of how they manage their businesses. So that's where kind of the divas comes from, right? It's not about being, you know, superior. It's not about being, arrogant or anything like that. It's about being self-confident. It's about being aware. It's about being, you know, compassionate, giving back to the community, and doing something that makes a difference in the world, because it's all about, you know, the mark that we make and the legacy that we leave behind.
Monique, what are one of the things that you think other business books don't tell us about being a woman entrepreneur? What's one of the big items that you think we all need to know about?
I think one of the big things that the so-called guidebooks don't tell us is exactly really how hard it's going to be. I think it's really difficult for any one how-to guy to kind of capture that experience of you not being able to make your payroll because your sales were really low. and you've got to figure that out, like, tonight, because the federal government is coming to get their payroll taxes out of your account automatically overnight, and your employees are going to the bank the next day to cash those paychecks, right? I mean, I just don't think that there's a way that those kinds of books can really communicate that kind of experience that we all go through in, you know, just trying to make ends meet. I think also a lot of the books really don't give you the inside scoop on what it takes to raise money. You know, they talk about, you know, general sources of funding and where you can go to find information and who you can, you know, potentially pitch and that kind of thing, but they don't give you any clue, I think, about exactly what it takes to go and hustle and get funding for your business.
Well, that's a big nail that we've got to hit on the head in our second segment. We're going to be talking about money, we're going to be talking about marketing, and yes, we're going to be talking about overcoming and benefiting from your mistakes. We're talking this afternoon with Monique Hayward, author of Divas Doing Business, What the Guidebooks Don't Tell You About Being a Woman Entrepreneur. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking with Monique Hayward, author of Divas Doing Business, What the Guidebooks Don't Tell You About Being a Woman Entrepreneur. And we've got three M's to talk about. We're going to talk about money, marketing, and mistakes. Monique, let's start with money. Let's cover that money issue. Most of my listeners use credit cards, and they can't get credit these days even if they want to. What are your tips for funding your business, whether or not you are like a bootstrapper?
Sure. In fact, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today, front page, how that just shows a graph, and the headline is, banks are still not lending, right? And you can see over time in this graph how the banks have basically lent less and less money over time during this financial crisis. So I completely empathize with the listeners of the radio program here, that it is really, really tough to engage with a bank right now. I have been in the process of trying to refinance and consolidate debt for the past two and a half, even going on 3 years now, and I can't get a bank to take my deal. And I've got good credit and a day job and a house and the whole bit. So it really is, I think, at some point incumbent upon you as the entrepreneur to just figure it out, and that's what really winds up happening. So my advice is that if you are using your credit cards, you know, just make sure that you're making those payments and you're making them on time, and that you've got some sense and sensibility about how to actually manage and keep that stuff under control, because credit card debt is one of those things that could really get away from you fast, right?
Yeah,
definitely. So that's one thing. The second thing that I would encourage people to do, and I talk about this in the book, is to kind of Know the people who you know will help you out in a situation when you get into a tight spot. You know, I think that it's incumbent upon people to have that, you know, that list of 3 to 5 people who you know you can call for $1,000, $10,000, $25,000, whatever it is that you think that you're going to need if you get into a really tight spot, if you don't have that money yourself. I think if you don't know those people, I think you got to get out there and start making some friends. Because I've had to pull those triggers a couple of times, and I tell you, it's been worth it to have people I know that I can go to in a pinch, a dire situation, you know, where I had no other choice, and you know, was able to have an agreement with you know, a friend or a family member or whoever to say, okay, I need this like right now, and I will pay you back on these terms, on, you know, with these conditions, and in this time frame. And I tell you, it's been really helpful because a lot of times the banks are just not going to be there for you.
Monique, tell us a little bit more about that. What is it like to make that request? I mean, I would imagine you kind of have to, you know, steel yourself and make up your speech and,
yeah, exactly.
And if this is a relative or a close friend, obviously you have personal things involved. This is something that the guidebooks don't talk about. Tell us about how that feels and how it works in practical terms.
Right, exactly. So, in fact, I actually asked that question of the contributor, Denise Brousseau, to that particular chapter on raising capital. And one of the things that she pointed out was, you know, we as the person who is making the ask always gets wrapped up and caught up in the emotion of it and trying to, you know, sort of figure out the best way to make that happen. And in general terms, it's basically better to just ask and lay out a plan. I think that people understand, particularly if they're entrepreneurs themselves or if they are in corporate America or have business experience, they understand what you're trying to do. They understand your goals. They understand your objectives. I think if you lay that out for them and you say, hey, you know that I'm working as hard as I possibly can to pull this together. I'm in a tight spot right now. I can use a little help. Here's my plan. Here's how I can pay you back. And let's just keep this as a business agreement and get it in writing. And then that way, you know, you don't have any, you know, sort of, you can take some of the personal ties and a lot of the emotion out of the conversation at that point.
Right, and you approach them with an agreement, right? So this is not hanging over your head in a way that relies in any way on emotions.
It's right, exactly. Exactly. Now, you know, with my family members, it's a little bit different, right? You know, because I think they have an understanding that they're going to eventually get their money back. They'll be fine, you know. So, but anyway, but with people who aren't your family members or who are really close friends who you have that kind of relationship with that you know that, you know, you can count on them and it won't be an issue with other folks, I strongly suggest keeping it very formal and above board so that everybody's clear about what you need to do.
And Monique, let's go back for 1 second to the credit card issue. I mean, we're all aware, even if it's not by way of our own personal experience, we all have friends or family members who have just really been devastated by what's happened in the financial markets where a simple little credit card is concerned. What are some of your, I mean, besides, you know, keeping track of it, you know, making sure that you don't let the debt run away from you. Have you experienced or any friends experienced any ways to really, you know, even just penny by penny, just not use that card? I mean, PayPal comes to mind immediately.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say PayPal comes to mind immediately, right, where you can just use other forms of payment to help with not running up your credit card bills. Wherever you can pay cash, pay cash. I mean, there are some things, like I have a policy where if I can't pay it off within the next billing cycle, at least I used to have this before I went into business for myself and now all my credit cards are maxed. But, you know, some people, it works for them where they have this policy of saying, okay, if I can't pay it off within 30 days, I'm going to pay for it in cash, right? I think that there are certain things that the way that I've managed my debt financing is that I try not to use credit cards and short-term obligations for things that are not long-term. So, you know, everyday inventory, right? I try to pay for that stuff in cash And with a restaurant business, you know, particularly when you have a liquor license and you have to actually pay COD, that's the law here in Oregon. You can't run up your credit cards, you know, buying your liquor, right? So, anyway, but there are ways, I think, to, you know, sort of, separate your approach to the business in a short-term versus long-term kind of perspective where, you know, you want to just finance things, I think, that are really short-term that you know that you can pay off or pay cash, things that are longer-term, yeah, sure, you might want to finance that because you can probably get a better return on your money and be able to write down that asset, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, in a way that will be beneficial to your business. There are definitely techniques for managing that carefully.
Good point. And when you do need to get a short-term loan from a relative or something, again, you recommend having like a promissory note or something that specifically says how much you're borrowing, what it's going to be used for, and when it's due back.
Right, exactly. I think that's really good advice to have that so that people are very clear about what they're getting themselves into.
Now, let's talk about one of the divas doing business that you featured in your book, my friend Lisa Price. Now, she worked her fingers to the bone making sugar scrub and body butter for years and years and years, and she got a nice, sweet investment deal. What'd she tell you about that?
Well, Lisa is a fantastic human being, and she kind of took me under her wing a few years ago when I met her at a conference, and she has just been a fantastic mentor for me as well. And she has been, you know, very fortunate. She's one of those people who she operates by kind of putting things out there in the universe, right? Where, you know, she wasn't, I think, specifically looking for a great investment at the time. I think that, you know, she was moving forward with her business plan, you know, continuing to improve her product, continuing to get herself known in the industry, and then lo and behold, you know, she put it out there and it just happened, and she had this great partnership that emerged out of it, and all of this kind of celebrity interest, and next thing you know, she's everywhere, and it's been fantastic for her.
That is really neat. And so and you're saying what's so interesting about that, as you just said, is that she told you she wasn't really looking for it. She was just putting one foot in front of the other like everyone else is.
Exactly, exactly. And she's so modest to begin with, right? And so she doesn't really get caught up in all of that. And I think that it's really good to watch someone who has been able to build her business from the kitchen up, if you will, and be an inspiration for the rest of us, definitely, and still lives a very modest lifestyle and is very focused on her family and very loving and caring person who reaches out to other folks and gives back. It's fantastic.
Now, Monique, let's talk a little bit about marketing. What are some of the best ways to market your business? And also, I want you to comment on the fact that your wonderful Dessert Noir Cafe and Bar, which I'm so excited about going to at the Indie Business Breakfast in August, has received a lot of press, a lot of editorial placements, not just in the Beaverton and Portland area, but elsewhere as well. How have you found that that has helped your business grow and expand, if at all?
Actually, the best thing that I think I've ever done is to focus on publicity and media in terms of increasing the visibility of my business. I do a lot of marketing that is kind of your run-of-the-mill stuff that, you know, you would normally think to do in terms of promotions and advertising and discounting and that kind of stuff. But my particular focus on doing engagements with the media, particularly around my personal story as an African-American businesswoman in the Portland area, and the business itself being in a niche market, being a dessert cafe in the suburbs that kind of lives between the fine dining experience at the high end and above the casual dining experience below us, I think that has been a really good way for us to get our story out. And I think that people sometimes are a little mystified by the media. I think a lot of people are like, oh, wow, you know, it's really hard. I mean, I couldn't approach a reporter. I have no story. What people need to understand about the media is that they're always looking for good stories. They have a 24-hour news cycle to fill, right? And so because people ask me all the time, you know, how did you get on CNN and how did you do this? It's like because they have 24 hours of space they have to fill, right? And if you have a story that's relevant, that's timely, and that helps other people, you will get covered. It's not that hard. You just have to figure out what is your story that will be informational and relevant to other people because they will connect with you on that level, and how it will be interesting and engaging for the media's viewers and readers and subscribers. It's that
simple. And you know what's interesting about everything that you just shared? You did not one time say that a media placement resulted because the food in your restaurant tasted good.
No. Absolutely not.
That's critical for people to understand based on your experience, because no matter what you sell, the tendency is to focus on how great it is.
Right, exactly. I was actually speaking with a venture capitalist once who funds restaurant businesses, and you know, my business unfortunately was a little too small for him to get interested in, but he was gracious enough to actually have the conversation with me to, you know, give me some pointers and kind of thinking about laying the foundation for, you know, growth in the future. And he said, one of the things that I really want to commend you on, Monique, is that you did not come in here and start talking about your food, you did not talk about your beverages, you didn't talk about this, that, or the other. You talked about what is your strategy, right? What is it that you need to do to increase sales and revenue, and what is it that makes you different from everybody else? Because honestly, people are going to give you the benefit of the doubt when it comes to your product. Right? They're just, because otherwise, you know, well, why would you be doing it? if it's not good, if it doesn't meet some minimum level of standard, what's the point? Right? People want to know what the story is around it.
That's a really good way to look at it. I like what you said. People will give you the benefit of the doubt about your product. They don't want to hear about how great it is.
Right, exactly.
That's a given if you're contacting them.
Right, exactly. It's a given if you're contacting them. It's a given that, you know, you're in business, you must be doing something that a customer appreciates or that a community wants or that there's a need that you're serving, right? I think people will give you that. People will give you that as a given, right?
I love that. That's a really good perspective that everyone can use no matter what business you're in, and that's why I'm so smart, because I have Monique on this show. With Monique Havard, Eva's doing... is the name of the book, and it's all about what the guidebooks don't tell you about being a woman entrepreneur, and we're learning some of those nuggets of wisdom right now from a woman who's been there, done that, and is still there, running her business, no funding outside of what we're talking about today, no angels come along and dropped $1 million on her, although we can hope and pray for that.
That's
we're
right.
We're going to get all together because, like you said, we do support each other. We're going to come back for our last segment with Monique. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're starting on our final segment with Monique Hayward. The time certainly has flown with this fantastic diva talking about divas doing business and sharing some of the tips and tidbits that the guidebooks don't tell us about being a woman entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit, Monique, about what it's like to run a restaurant. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Why a restaurant?
Well, I work in high technology. And I've been working in that industry for about 15 years now. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I thought about starting my own business was that I wanted to start something that was as far away from high technology as possible. And food and beverage is pretty far away from that. And I also I'm not a foodie per se. I do like to cook and entertain and all that stuff, but I certainly have no culinary background. I didn't go to cooking school or anything like that. But what I did was I sensed an opportunity. And as I described a little while ago, we were talking about marketing and publicity. I sensed that in the suburbs, there is a lack of neighborhood places where people can go to have, you know, a nice dinner or a nice dessert or whatever, and have an experience that they would usually think about getting downtown, but they really want to be close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing my research and put the business plan together and came up with the Dessert Noir Cafe and Bar concept. And I located it next to a 16-screen multiplex movie theater. And so basically it's become, you know, the place in Beaverton to go for dessert and small plates and appetizers and fantastic cocktails. And it's been open for a little over 4 years now.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, guess what? We've got a listener in the chat room who just registered to come meet us there on August the 1st.
Sweet.
For our Indie Business Portland. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, so, we're really excited to have you.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, and that's Marilyn Borner, by the way, from Victory Products. And you know, it's really great, Monique, too. I love the story in your book. You shared a little bit about how you actually narrowed down the niche and found your business opportunity. And so that's one of the great things that you'll get if you purchase this book, which, by the way, you can get at MoniqueHayward.com. So while you're chatting with us in the chat room, you can open up a window and head on over there and see what's happening at Monique's website. Now, Monique, let's talk a little bit about mistakes. Now, we've all made them.
Mm-hmm.
You interviewed a lot of women in this book who made them and recovered and continued to be successful. What are some of the things that you learned that the other guidebooks don't tell us about making mistakes?
Well, when we were talking earlier about the things that the how-to guides don't tell you, I think learning from mistakes is one of those things that I think that they omit. And I think a lot of times when people have become successful and they're writing their books, they kind of forget about how hard it was and what they had done along the way to actually get to where they are. And they somehow don't think to communicate that to the rest of us. And so one of the things that I think that I learned, particularly when it comes to managing the day-to-day, is that you don't want to approach a mistake in terms of it being a devastating event. I think that there are times when you can always learn something positive out of a negative experience. I think that one of the biggest mistakes that I made was with a vendor that I wound up owing a lot of money to, and the vendor actually sued me. And and it was a $25,000 mistake. And if you think about the scale of my business, a $25,000 mistake could have very well put me out of business. But I used that as an opportunity to look at my operation and say, wait a minute, why is my food bill so high? Why did I get into this situation? Why did I wind up behind on several invoices? And it was because we were wasting a lot of food. We were ordering too much. Sales were too slow for what we were anticipating at the time. And there were so many different factors. And I tell you, it was an opportunity for me to get my operation right and then, you know, sort of deal with the whole, you know, being sued piece of it, which wound up, you know, sort of getting settled anyway. So, I mean, it was just one of those things where it was like, you know, I could have panicked. I could have shut down. I could have said, you know what, that's it, no more. I've been sued, oh, my God. But I took it as an opportunity to really look at my operation from top to bottom and say, what in the world happened here, and how can we turn this around and make it a positive? And I tell you, it was one of the best decisions that I made, because since then, I do not deal with big food vendors. Mm-hmm. I go and shop for my food every day. And I know exactly how much I'm spending. I don't have any sales guys trying to hustle me for, you know, trying to try this product or that product, or, you know, have big delivery trucks rolling up costing me money. No, I'm doing all my shopping myself. And I've joked with my staff. Yeah, and I've joked with my staff that if Dessert Noir Cafe and Bar ever went to 10 locations, 100 locations, I don't care. Everybody's going to be shopping themselves. We are not going to be dealing with no big food vendors.
Well, and that's actually good timing, because a lot of customers and restaurant attendees like to know that they're buying food that's made with local ingredients.
Exactly, and that was one of the things that was working in our favor at the time. It was like there's a trend toward local ingredients, fresh to market. It was like we need to just jump on that, and we can actually have that conversation with our customers and say, "Oh, yeah, where did you get this?" Or whatever. Say from our local wholesale grocer, who's about 3 miles up the street from here.
That's right, and that's exactly right. And there's so many things that you can do with that. That's part of your story right there. The media loves that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, indeed.
You know, that story right there, first of all, thank you for your candor. There are, you know, many people listening to this show who would be sued one day, and they will remember this, Monique, that you said it's not the end of the world. You can find your silver lining, pay off the debt and do what you need to take care of it, but make sure you learn from it, and you're really paying it forward. We really appreciate you sharing that with us today.
And you know what, Donna Maria, let me tell you, it took me a long time to actually get to a point where I could share that story because I was ashamed, right? I was like, here I am, you know, this, you know, corporate America, successful career woman with an MBA in marketing and a BA in journalism, and I'm this successful person, and like, oh my God, how did I let my operation get so far out of control that I couldn't keep up with my food costs? I mean, it took me a long time to be able to look myself in the mirror and say, you know what, learn from this and stop being ridiculously stupid and share it with other people so that they don't fall into that situation.
And you know, what you did, I know, I've been in some situations that have looked like they would just close me down. And
yeah.
One of the things that I've been able to do on the rare occasions, thank God, when that's happened is I've just kind of said, you know what, as you must have said, you know what, I'm not going to close my business down. I'm going to step away for a second and just detach myself long enough to know that I'm committed to this, and then I'm going to tackle it and make something good out of it.
Right, exactly. Because I think the other thing that you wind up doing in that kind of situation, if you can, you know, first of all, get over the initial shock of it, you go back to your inspiration for starting the business in the first place. Right? What is it that you thought was such a great idea, right? And you must have had, you know, some grand plan to be successful, right? And one bump in the road is not going to, if one bump in the road, you know, derails you from that plan, then, you know, that's just not productive, right?
Right. And you probably need to stop even without the problem if that's
right, exactly.
There's something missing there in the motivation, which
right.
Kind of goes back to what you said at the beginning of the show about how we start businesses. It's not all about the money. We are getting other things out of it in addition to that, and that's what keeps us going, right?
Right, exactly. I've met so many tremendous people, you included, along the way, who I would never have had the opportunity to meet had I not started my business.
Yeah. I was listening to some show, I can't remember, over the weekend, and I heard an old actor, I think it was Keith Carradine or Carradine, I'm not sure I'm saying his name, say both ways to make sure I cover, however.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think it is Keith Carradine.
Keith Carradine, he said, and you know, he's been in Hollywood for years and years and years, and one of the things he said is, there are no failed actors. There are just people who didn't stick around long enough.
Oh, I 100% agree with that when it comes to business.
Tell me why.
Yeah, in fact, one of my contributors is a woman named Jacqueline Reinhart. She's a former music industry executive, and she has her own company now called Organic Soul Marketing. And so she's a marketing expert, publicity expert. She launched, you know, some careers that are really famous and help some musicians really find their way in the 80s and 90s. And she, when I interviewed her about her business and her experience, one of the things that she specifically mentioned was how people, you know, sort of don't follow through with their goals in terms of being in the game long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, great ideas and products and services will succeed because they're better, right? I mean, that's a given. But the great people who are in it to win it, so to speak, will stick with it, right? And if you think about all the people who, you know, you think about who are overnight sensations, quote unquote, who've been in it for 10 or 20 or 30 years. I mean, look at Morgan Freeman's acting career, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't become famous until he was like 50 years old, but he had a 30-year career prior to that, right? So, I mean, I think that there are people who, need to understand that it is a journey, right? It's a journey that is going to take some time and that it's going to be difficult, but you got to hang in there and you got to believe in yourself and you got to stick with it because you have the plan, right? You know it's going to work.
Right. Those are really important points to remember, so thank you for sharing them. And I'm glad you answered to confirm what Keith Carradine said, because I kind of thought that, but, you know, it's hard for people to see that when you're in the middle of it. And, you know, so many times as women, Monique, I'd love for you to comment on this as well. We can see all these successful people around us, male and female, who have done what you just said, pressed forward for 15 or 20 years. I've heard a friend of mine say it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Yes, absolutely.
Usually longer, right? So you see all these people who've done it, but there's something inside of us sometimes that just says, you know, but I also see people who didn't, and I'm probably one of them.
Right, yeah, and that's too bad because I think that we, particularly as women, do tend to, you know, kind of shy away from that spotlight, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we need to be a little bit better about having more self-confidence and more faith and more belief in our own ability to make our plans successful. And also the other thing is, I mean, a lot of this, again, with women, we have community. And we have natural community because that's what we do as women. We reach out to other folks. We build networks and we create support systems, right? We have our mothers, our sisters, our aunts, our, you know, we have all these folks who are part of our network who can help us with keeping us on that path. So you don't have to be at it alone. You don't have to struggle as hard as, you know, some others who did it all by themselves, right? Because we're out here sharing this knowledge. And it's right at your fingertips if you would just take the time to embrace it.
Well, and that's the perfect segue for talking a little bit about how we can get in touch with you, how we can get our hands on this book, follow you on Twitter. Give us the rundown of where we can go to get more of Monique.
Wow, get more of Monique. This is fantastic. So my website is Monique Hayward. That's MoniqueHayward.com. And there you can click on the tab for books, and it will give you the link to everything about Divas Doing Business, what the guidebooks don't tell you about being a woman entrepreneur. You can buy it as a trade paperback on Amazon.com. You can buy it as an ebook directly from me. And you can also buy it as an ebook for the Amazon Kindle if you happen to have one of those hot devices.
All right. Well, you've made it easy for us to get that. No excuses. Monique Hayward.com, and also on Twitter at twitter.com/Monique Hayward. And we are going to be gathering with Monique at the Dessert Noir, which, by the way, is dessertnoir.com.
Yes, absolutely. Let's not forget that.
That's right. And we've got several listeners and tons of people at our indiebeauty.com social site who are in Portland. Again, a couple of them have already signed up for Indie Business Breakfast on August the 1st. There's only 30 tickets, so you got to get yours now. Monique, we're going to be gathering with you there, and we're going to be doing something that you just talked about. We're going to be building each other up, encouraging each other. It's not all about the technicalities. We're going to have open networking, and we're going to make sure that nobody slips through the cracks. That's what we want to do.
Right, absolutely. And I'm there to support.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to having you. Thank you for opening up the Dessert Noir Cafe and Bar for us. We're very excited to be joining you there. Again, everyone, it's MoniqueHayward.com, Divas Doing Business, what the guidebooks don't tell you about being a woman entrepreneur. Check it out, and also check out over 100 of my radio shows at IndieBusinessRadio.com. I can't believe I've been doing this show since 2005. I've tried to interview everybody that you would possibly need to help you be successful in your business. You can stream the shows. You can download the shows. Please check them out. People tell me all the time, they put them on their iPods, they go do their exercising, or they download them onto a CD and they stick it in their car and they have a great time learning and also have a way to stay motivated and encouraged throughout the day. Thank you for joining everyone in the chat room and everyone listening. And Monique, thank you, of course, to you for sharing your wisdom and inspiration with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'll be back next week with another fantastic show. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.